Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Hi, welcome to episode 28 of season 2. This week we are studying Acts chapters 1 through 5. And the Savior has now completed his mortal ministry. He's leaving charge of the church to Peter and the other apostles. Now, Jesus also promised that the Holy Ghost would attend them to guide and direct their decisions. So kind of in his absence, he said, don't worry, you'll have someone else there to help you on your day-to-day journeys. And we see evidence of this throughout these chapters. In Acts chapter 2 is when they have the account of the day of Pentecost. And we see where the Holy Ghost was bestowed upon many at that time. We also see in Acts chapter 1 where the 11 apostles deliberate and they choose a successor to Judas Iscariot, as you remember, killed himself after his betrayal of the Savior. Having the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives is essential to navigating the decisions that we have to make on a regular basis, especially the more difficult decisions. Having his presence to be able to help us kind of see ahead and better understand the consequences of our choices is really important. Also, learning to be authentic and to make good choices for the best reasons is a critical part of Christian discipleship. And that principle is highlighted in the story in Acts chapter 5 of Ananias and Sapphira. So for background, the members of the church at that time had started to have all things in common. So what that meant is that they would, members of the church would contribute all of their wealth and their possessions to church leaders, and then the leaders would, under inspiration, redistribute that to the church members according to their needs. And so those who had very little to contribute may perhaps ended up with more than they initially had, and then those who had a lot to contribute perhaps ended up with less. And it was just a design to help people, benefit the poor and needy, as I understand it. And so in this case, Ananias and Sapphira were a married couple, members of the church, and they were expected to abide by these conditions of having all things in common. So what happened is they sold a parcel of land for a certain price, and then the expectation would be that they would give all the money of the sale of that land to the church and then receive back what they needed to sustain themselves and their lives. And then the balance, any difference between that, would be given to people in need. But both Ananias and Sapphira agreed ahead of time that they would disclose the sale of the property, but only report a portion of the total sale proceeds. For example, if the plot of land sold for $10,000, then they agreed ahead of time that they would say, hey, this just sold for $5,000. So they give the $5,000 to the church and then pocket the other $5,000. Now, we don't know why they did this. We don't know the reasons behind it. But to me, it seems clear that they wanted to appear to be in compliance to the church leaders while not actually fulfilling the commandment. So they wanted to look like they were doing what they were supposed to do, but then still keep back a portion for themselves. Otherwise, why not just keep the whole $10,000? They were interested in at least appearing to be obedient to the commandment. As they execute their plan, Peter discovers them in their lies through the power of the Holy Ghost, and they both fall dead. It's an extreme cautionary tale. And then the question is, what is the caution? I suppose there are many, including we shouldn't lie, we shouldn't conspire against church leaders, we shouldn't be greedy. But I think another caution is that we need to be authentic in our actions. There are many reasons to stay on the covenant path. Sometimes we get caught up, in what others are going to think about what we're doing. And then maybe we're being obedient simply to look good to others as opposed to being obedient for the sake of being obedient or to follow the Lord's command to obey. Now, in full self-disclosure, I will tell you a story about a time when I was caught up in this. And to be honest, I think I've been caught up in it many times in my life. This is just one example. So many years ago, when we lived in Washington State, our stake would have stake temple nights where we'd go to the Portland Temple. We'd have a stake meeting in one of the temple chapel rooms, and then we would go to do temple work after the meeting. Now, most of the stake and ward leaderships would be in attendance. Many times, members of the stake presidency would stand right there at the temple doors in the foyer and greet us as we went in. So it was pretty evident who was attending and who wasn't. Now, I remember one night when I really didn't want to do any work after the meeting. I was tired. I didn't want the inconvenience. The temple was a 30-minute drive from our home, and I really didn't want to go. But at the same time, I wanted to be seen at the stake temple meeting. I wanted people to see, well, hey, there's Brother Morgan, so he must be faithful because he's coming to the temple. And as I talk about this, I just realize how terrible it sounds. So I went to the temple. I went to the stake temple meeting, and then I left after that. So now one could argue that I did make a good choice by at least going to the temple meeting, but for me, my attendance was rooted in poor motivations. I had gone all the way to the temple, but my only purpose was to just kind of check a box and to be seen by my peers and seen by my leaders. I didn't do any of the work, which can only be done in the temple. If I had stayed and done some proxy work for the dead, then I could have done that work, which is why we go to the temple in the first place. But I had just gone in order to look good to others. And as I look back on that, I am ashamed of that decision. I've tried to be better since then and tried to do good things for the best reasons. But it is easy to get caught up in the idea and the behavior of doing things just to be seen of others. You'll remember the account from the Savior's life when he was observing people casting money into the treasury. And in contrast to the widow who had cast in little, but it was all she had, some people were casting in quite a bit of money. And notwithstanding the greatness of their contributions, the Savior was critical of those who had cast in much, he said, because they did it to be seen of men. So although their actions were commendable, surely many good things could be done with all the money that they were contributing. A lot of poor could be helped because of that. but they were doing it for, I say, not the best reasons. I don't necessarily think wrong reasons, but just not the best reasons. Our motivation is important as we walk along the covenant path. Walking the path is good, but walking it for higher and holy reasons is best. President Dallin H. Oaks taught this in his iconic Good, Better, Best talk. You might remember that from the October 2007 General Conference. And here's a quote from that talk. "It is good to belong to our Father in Heaven's true church and to keep all of his commandments and fulfill all of our duties. But if this is to qualify as best, it should be done with love and without arrogance. We should, as we sing in a great hymn, crown our good with brotherhood, showing love and concern for all whom our lives affect." So President Oaks is teaching that it's not just a good thing to belong to the church and to keep the commandments, but to do that for the best reasons. Now, one of the ways we can avoid doing things just for show is to increase our self-confidence. In my work in mental health, when I've worked with people who have low self-confidence, I often find a connection between those feelings of low self-confidence and the desire to impress or to be accepted by others. Now, while we all want to feel acceptance, and that's not a bad thing, some are able to generate that within themselves, which I think is a healthier way to live, and some are constantly dependent upon others to feel acceptable, which I think is less healthy. As we develop greater feelings of self-acceptance and self-confidence, we're able to move forward with determination and less concern for the opinions of others. Peter had this transformation. We see that in this week's readings. He had a transformation where, as he increased his self-confidence, he had no shame admitting that he knew the Savior, where just weeks before that, he was denying him. Increasing feelings of self-confidence and self-assurance is not only a positive for our mental health, but it can help us stay on the covenant path more diligently. Now, I always end these podcast episodes with an invitation to act, and I invite you to give prayerful consideration to which of these invitations would be good for you to do. And here's for this week. Rate your feelings of self-confidence on a scale of 1 to 10, and then answer, how would increasing your self-confidence help you better navigate your current difficulties? And what can you do to improve feelings of self-confidence? Free worksheets you can download to help you with the weekly invitations. To find out how to get these, just sign up for my email newsletter, and you can find that link in the show notes. I also invite you to subscribe to the podcast and share with others. And if there are written and now there are written transcripts of the podcast as well, you can find those in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action, and to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drdavidtmorgan.com.